Hello! Hope you guys enjoyed the music. We're back with the Radio Laurie News Show. Today is November 28th, 2018. My name is Brielle. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi out there. This is Garrison.
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks at
least. Yeah, it's been several weeks. So yeah, we're back with the Radio Laurie News Show. We're going to talk about all the stuff that the Cord published in the newspaper this week. But before we start, we just want to note that the opinions and views depicted on the Radio Laurie News Show do not reflect the views and values of the Cord or Radio Laurie. They solely reflect the views of the individuals present on the show, which is us. So just a quick outline of what we're going to be talking about. We have a lot of news on the show today. The first is Monarch Clothing. They assist those with dementia and Alzheimer's disease in dressing themselves. Then we're going to talk about the One Girl event that hopes to impassion and inspire women. We're also going to be talking about how Happy Hawks has inspired hope around campus. We're going to mention the Wilfs Craft Beer Festival, the second one of its kind, as well as Laurie Sleep Week, the Kitchener Christmas Market. We have an opinion piece slash sports piece that's going on. We're going to be talking about the effect of PEDs.
The performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, performance-enhancing drugs on
Laurie. As well
Laurie.
As alcohol and marijuana.
Yes. performance-enhancing drugs on Laurie student-athletes, as well as as well as two sports events. So it's going to be swimming as well as basketball. Okay, let's get into the first piece of news, which is about Monarch Clothing. So Monarch Clothes is a Waterloo-based company. It's developed a clothing line targeting women and men with physical impairments, as well as Alzheimer's disease and dementia. So it's founded by this lady named Patricia Quinn. She's the chief executive officer of Monarch Clothes, and she's actually an alumnus of Wilfrid Laurier. So Patricia went to work for IBM as a technical advisor after she graduated from Laurier's BBA program, and she founded it with this lady called Christine Goulet. She also worked for IBM, and after leaving the company, they kind of decided to form Monarch Clothes 2 years later. So the inspiration behind the company is Christine Goulet's mother. She was living with Alzheimer's disease, and Christine just found that dressing her in regular street clothes or other adaptive clothing solutions were pretty unsatisfactory, just in terms of the amount of effort it took for her to get the clothes on her mom. So they decided to develop a clothing line that considers more of the two-person dressing experience. So they looked at the body mechanics of the person being dressed as well as the person doing the dressing. And their design, they say, has actually significantly reduced the amount of body manipulation for the person being dressed. They've reduced it by as much as 75%. And the way they've been able to do this is they have a wraparound and snap button design. So I went on their website, they have this introduction video about how to put on the clothes. It's pretty cool. Really, it's just like slip on and a lot of clips. So they offer a lot of range of shirts, blouses, pants, shawls, and scarves. It's all available on their e-commerce website. You can check it out if you just Google Monarch Clothes. And the clothes are manufactured specifically to withstand industrial washing machines that you would find in a care home. So it should be pretty sturdy. You shouldn't have to like buy the clothes a lot. The founders have also been building a relationship with care homes, and they've been doing a lot of pop-up trunk shows as well as hosting demonstrations with caregivers and professional caregivers. So they're trying to get the message out there that this brand exists. The company was actually established in Waterloo's Accelerator Center's Jumpstart program, and now it's operating in the reactor space. So it's still in the startup stages, but we can see that like they've been doing a lot of sales now, and they're actually expanding their market. So they're going to expand to men as well as to a younger demographic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting. And definitely expansion is going to be really huge because, yeah, like everybody can use this at some point in their lives. Like I'm going through surgery, as I think you've noted. And then like mm-hmm. for myself and my own experience, I worked with kids with disabilities and some of the difficulties in, what was it said? It was described as the movement?
Body manipulation.
Body manipulation. That's a good term for it because mm-hmm. it can be kind of tricky to get people that aren't necessarily coordinated physically or have a higher degree of needs and lower ability of motor function and stuff like that. So yeah, I thought this was really exciting and innovative, and kind of the mental picture that I could use to describe the clothing is like a snuggie mm-hmm. but like stylish. So
a good way to describe it,
like put your arms out into it and it kind of comes over onto you, and then it's usually connected in the back.
Yes.
So that's pretty accessible.
And the thing is, they still look like regular clothes. Mm-hmm, like they don't look like snuggies.
No.
But they have, I guess, like the comfort mm-hmm. of the snuggies. Do snuggies fasten at all?
I don't think so. Yeah, because it's supposed to be like a sweater. Yeah, exactly. Well, like open ended too. Yeah. It's like the back is. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So at the care center that you mentioned, did you have to like help elders get dressed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I worked with kids. So I was with a group of teenage guys, but they had like a variety of different levels of need. So mm-hmm. I was actually working with a guy in a wheelchair as well. And yeah, it's just tricky having. He had less mobility, and then also having the wheelchair in the way was difficult. And so I think instead of like going in over their head to put on a t-shirt or whatever, just changing the steps for getting dressed, like put your arms in first and then you can tie it behind and you don't even have to worry about putting it over their head.
Can you even wear t-shirts if you're not putting it behind? Because doesn't part of the cloth go behind you?
Mm-hmm. Well, like then leaning forward and then tying it in the back.
Oh yeah, I guess mm-hmm. that's difficult. True.
It can be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never like personally experienced this, but I'm just thinking of after surgeries and stuff, mm-hmm. it must be like extremely difficult to get dressed by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I had a coworker who like had surgery on her chest and she was essentially just not able to go to work for mm-hmm. the next month. Not even because like she wasn't able to like physically like be at work, just she couldn't get like any business casual or business formal clothes on,
right?
Because all of it like would need to fasten at the front somehow, or it would be like a pullover. So after she had surgery on her chest, she's like, I can only wear zippers.
Yeah,
none of that is business casual. Mm-hmm. So she like essentially just took a month off work, like because of this. So I think the more clothing options we have for just like all sorts of situations like this, the better mm-hmm. it is. And I'm really glad that they're reaching the younger demographic because mm-hmm. I think it's going to be like a really big market.
Mm-hmm. For even that. Like a broken arm or something like that. Like everybody has the mild to severe inconvenience of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're addressing it. And I think it's going to be really big.
Yeah. Let's hope we see more of this clothing on the market. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break here. And after we come back, we're going to be talking about the One Girl event that hopes to impassion and inspire women. So they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. All right, we are back. Hope you enjoyed the music. We're going to be talking about our second news story, which is the One Girl event that hopes to impassion and inspire young women. So this was a workshop held in the Veritas Cafe at Wilfrid Laurier University. Happened on November 24th, 2018. And this was an event that served girls ages 8 to 13, run primarily by Lindsay Feltis, who's a Laurier Psych and Communications alumnus. She graduated back in 2018. Graduated in 2018. So the event's a part of a series of workshops that are held to encourage girls to realize their full potential and build confidence. It's part of this bigger organization called One Woman, but the profits from this company are actually reinvested into women in developing countries. So they're helping girls and women gain access to things like education. And the One Girl workshop is part of a two-series workshop. So the first workshop is One Girl Inspired. That's for girls ages 8 to 10. And then the second part is One Girl Encouraged, and that's for ages 11 to 13. So these workshops are both held monthly, and pretty much what happens is after registering and making name tags, the organization just kind of explains to everyone what One Girl is and their values, which is to create a safe space for girls to engage in open dialogue and fun activities. Then they talk essentially just about whatever the girls want to talk about. So one of the things that this young girl asked at a recent event was, what if I have a lot of compassion for other people, but I have no compassion for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very deep question yeah. that we can delve into. But essentially, yeah. So at the workshops, the girls are just encouraged to speak up, talk about like whatever is on their mind at the moment. And then Lindsay and then other people kind of just facilitate the conversation.
I think that is a really deep, deep question. I wonder how you would respond to mm-hmm. what I say. Is that particularly female issue, do you think?
A lot of compassion for other people.
But not compassion for themselves. I was just like doing a little bit of research into female issues and female rights. And I think because so much of the narrative has been written by male political leaders and male doctors and professionals and stuff like that. So the gender politics is skewed towards male narratives and the male experience.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's connected to that. I don't know if you see the connection that I'm kind of trying to find here, where you are taught societal values. It's mm-hmm. good to have compassion for other people.
Yeah.
But just with that so much bias in throughout history being against women, not having compassion for yourself, and like just being askew between how you behave for other people and the expectations you have for yourself.
Yeah, I think I kind of see what you mean. But I'm not sure like that anyone can answer that question without like understanding it from both perspectives. Like as a male, do you find that you have no compassion? Like you find that you always have compassion for yourself? Like
I think
you've
so.
Never
I
had
think
a situation where you did not feel mm-hmm. like you were in the.
I think
you were in the right.
I mean, it's just a generalization, and it's just the way I've experienced the world. But I think a lot of guys will be almost more selfish first, and they'll think about compassion for themselves first mm-hmm. to justify things they do and all kinds of stuff like that before they'll think about the greater society. And
okay.
I think more often than not, it's reversed with women. And we can see this in like care roles and in
yeah,
social work
yeah,
industries
for sure.
and stuff like that, where often maybe it's something maternal, but women have a care and a compassion for the people around them before they have a compassion for themselves. Yeah, just was wondering your thoughts about that.
I definitely think that that's true. Like the care role is like a really strong example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have never had this problem. I think it's really about like, I guess it's really about your personal experience mm-hmm. with things. And obviously like women as a whole, they might have a different like average experience than like males as a whole. But this girl's question, I think, is like a very deeply personal question. And I don't know if like I would expand it to like the structural regime.
No,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Of our society or anything like that. You did have a question on this that I thought it would be cool to answer. So you said, do you think it's fair to say that in the last 30 years, there has been more progress in gender equality than any other time in human history? Wait, so do you think that this is true?
Yeah, I do. I think so, okay. for sure. Well, at least in Western society, because, and I guess even globally, because it's a new precedent. It's mm-hmm. changing and evolving more than ever that I've been told. I don't know every moment of history, but mm-hmm. throughout history, yeah, women have been discriminated against. And I think that's mm-hmm. changing pretty rapidly now.
I think it's true. I was like, extend it even like beyond the last 30 years. Because
right.
I think like the...
It's been at least 50 years.
The suffrage movement, yeah, has been around mm-hmm. for longer. But definitely, I think women have kind of started to stand up for themselves and see themselves as like independent from the family unit. So they don't only mm-hmm. identify themselves with like mm-hmm. with that role now. We're seeing like more of the use of just people instead of just men when it comes to this society. And you also had linked this Plan Canada. What
yeah.
That?
So that's, it doesn't actually say it on there, but that is about the campaign Because I'm a Girl. Have you heard of that before?
I think I've heard of it, but do you want
to... Yeah, for sure. So I just went to their webpage because I remember hearing about them a while before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Canadian not-for-profit, and they are about educating and standing up for women's rights internationally.
Okay.
So this that we were talking about today, One Girl, is mm-hmm. what it was
One
called?
Girl?
It just reminded me of the bigger context where there's organizations now that are going out specifically for women in other countries and continents and advocating for their rights. I thought that was cool. Yeah, it's interesting that you haven't heard of that before. I wonder how big it is. Maybe it's just me. I thought it was a very big
organization. I think it is very big. Like, I've heard the name.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure exactly what was going on with the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's very important to have these organizations advocating for mm-hmm. women's rights. Because, again, the thing is, for a lot of people, it seems like these issues are kind of over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to this comedy club, and I remember this black comedian came up, and one of his running jokes was that, like, some audience member had come up to him and said, oh, I thought your jokes were really funny, but racism is over. And just blanket statements like
yeah.
like that, and also saying that like, oh, women and men are like, there's no more discrimination. I think
right.
there's still like a lot
yeah.
of improvement to be made. And just because a lot of improvement has been made doesn't mean that
it's like, ever
it's
over.
Yeah.
yeah. It's interesting because it's almost like two certain perspectives, this kind of discrimination and racism and sexism mm-hmm. can seem invisible if you're
yeah.
not looking for it, I think.
Let's move on to our next news story, which is about Happy Hawks. So the Happy Hawks campaign is coming back to Wilfrid Laurier at the end of the month. It's supposed to bring students a little bit of cheer amidst exam season, which is very stressful for most of us. Laurier alumni and community members are going to be given the opportunity to write out messages of encouragement, which are then passed to students around campus. So this term is going to happen on December December 6th, which is the first study day allocated for the fall term exam period. And in addition to these messages, Happy Hawks is going to be giving away free coffee and snack. And they're sponsored by a lot of companies like Awake Chocolate, as well as campus partners like Laurier's Food and Services, Wilf's, and Veritas. So all the alumni are encouraged to fill out a Happy Hawk postcard in preparation for this. And they're going to be writing messages for the campaign at various Laurier alumni events that have taken place throughout the last several months. I think it's still ongoing. They're still writing. They're also going to be able to submit messages online or on social media by using the hashtag HappyHawk. Not only does this campaign allow alumni kind of just to reflect on their time at Laurier and give the advice they wish they had heard during stressful times like exams, but it also provides an opportunity for staff as well as alumni to engage back with the campus that they were part of.
I think that's really, really cool as well. Mm-hmm. This week, my professor was telling us about some of the services that Laurier offers for anxiety and stress reduction and just wellness in general.
Yeah.
And I think she said she'd been on a bunch of different campuses doing lectures and all kinds of things, but she said that Laurier is the very best for student wellness and for taking care of their students. Is there anything like this in UW?
I've never heard of alumni writing messages.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't want to trash Waterloo, but I do feel like one of the things that we're lacking in is like alumni connections. Like,
okay.
Obviously there's a bunch of people that graduate, but there's not that community spirit there as there is at Laurier.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like after people graduate, they kind of move on to their mm-hmm. own careers and stuff, and it's less about giving back and bringing back the culture that they had
right.
when they were at Waterloo.
Is there a UW homecoming?
Feel like there. Okay,
it's not as big as Laurier's.
I know there is not. Maybe there's a really small one. But yeah, not that I've ever heard of.
It's not like Laurier's then.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Okay,
definitely
that's very interesting.
Not. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was a very pointed question because you already knew the answer, but No. I don't think we have one.
Okay.
We a lot of people just end up going to Laurier's.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. You had something here about care packages?
Yeah. I hear a lot of kids, students get care packages from their parents or, just for exam studying and stuff like that. And I think this is kind of like that where you're getting some nutrition and stuff like that. I never had that. My parents never sent me that. I think it's because their parents never sent them that. They may not even know that it's a thing.
Yeah. I've never heard of that before said this.
Oh, okay.
But I can see students getting packages from their parents, the care packages. That sounds really cute.
Yeah.
I feel like I would want to do that for my kids. That seems so nice.
Yeah, I think
but
I would
also,
too.
But also, I guess it also depends on how much you talk with your parents and communicate with them. Maybe they don't even know when your exam season starts.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a little bit harder. I really like the idea of alumni giving messages, though.
Yeah.
It's really kind of it's a message from your future self.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll make it.
They've literally been through what you're going through.
Yeah. I think exam season is always my favorite. Okay. No.
What?
Exam season, no. That was a bad way to say it. Exam season is not my favorite, but I like kind of the little bit of campus community that you do get during exam season. Like I said, Waterloo's not super big on community engagement, but during exam season, you definitely see a lot of organizations come out and try to help students tear up.
Right.
So there'll be a lot of message boards where you can post sticky notes about
right.
your ideas or just exam de-stressors. We just ran that for one of my faculty clubs this week. So there's definitely a lot of that happening.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing like a mutual struggle to really build camaraderie.
Bring everyone together.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, let's move on to the next piece of news item, which is the Wilf's Craft Beer Festival. So that happened on November 22nd. Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier University Student Union hosted the second annual Craft Beer Festival in the newly renovated space, the Turret, which we've talked quite a bit about. So participants could buy tickets for $1 each. Those were tickets for advanced buyers. They were $1. And if you wanted to buy at the door, it was $5 for 3 tickets, and in the Turret you would just receive samples from different breweries who were present. It also featured live music from some Ontario artists. Datsun and Jesse T were two of the names we have here. It was pretty well attended. 150 people attended, and there were 7 breweries there. One of them was a Moonshine Company from Elmira, and that was a huge hit with everyone. So some of the breweries we had were Waterloo Brewing, Redline Brewing, Royal City Brewing, Wellington Brewery, and Murphy's Law Distillery, which was the Moonshine Company. The event received a lot of positive feedback, and I think that was because there was a lot of new things that they added this year. It says that last year's event consisted of just 6 breweries and an iPod plug-in. So I'm glad that there was an improvement from last year. There's also a lot of food, which probably helped a lot because it was partly hosted by Wilfs. And the organizers were very happy, they said, with the turnout. They think they made a lot of real progress compared to last year's event. So hopefully they'll continue this annual tradition now.
Mm-hmm. I had the option to go, I think, but I didn't, sadly, and now I regret it. It seems like it would be so much fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Do you drink craft beer? Or
yeah.
Have you tried craft beer?
Yeah, I think I've tried 3 or 4 of almost all of these that were in attendance.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, I enjoy craft beer at least once. It's just a thing I think my dad gave to me. I inherited from him. He does it as well.
That's cool.
I think moonshine's pretty cool too.
What is moonshine?
I don't know exactly how to describe it.
So is it a type of beer?
It's not a beer. It's like a type of alcohol. It's closer to liquor because it's a higher percentage.
Okay.
I think I've had moonshine that's 80 proof, and I think other like liquors like
40% alcohol,
or something like that. Yeah, it's like a really really high percentage, and I don't know like the history of moonshine or anything like that, but I know it comes in little mason jars and or bigger mason jars.
So what I had always heard about moonshine, and I'm not sure if this is accurate because I don't know my alcohol at all, I had always heard that this was kind of like the, what do you call it, like those bootleg alcohols, where you just kind of make it on your own.
That's the history of it. Yeah.
Okay, that's the history.
Yeah, it was made in, I think it was popularized and usually made in Virginia or Florida or Georgia, that area, and out in the woods during like when the moon was shining and stuff like that. So that's what they called it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you drink craft beer?
I do not. Yeah, I'm kind of a little out of my element with this story because I don't drink alcohol a lot at all. I can't really tell the difference between any of the different types of beers, but I appreciate people who have like an appreciation for these like finer things in life.
What's your thing? Do you think you could tell the difference between different types of wine or like anything like that?
I really don't. I could probably
different types
tell
of bubble tea?
I could probably tell if something was vodka or not vodka. I think that's like the extent of my alcoholic knowledge.
Okay. I think it'd be really cool
know.
To see.
I think you have to practice at it.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
You have to drink it a lot for you to understand, and I just don't. Which is probably.
I think I've been drinking beer for like 6 years, so
that's acquired taste, do you think? Or do you like, did you enjoy it the first time you had it?
I think I forced myself to think I enjoyed it because it's like a masculine thing, you have to enjoy beer, and now I actually genuinely enjoy it, but it is an acquired taste. It takes a while to get used to it. I think it's because we're kind of young and we have a sensitivity to bitterness that like usually fades as we get older.
So. I don't know if I want my sense to fade. That doesn't sound very...
I think like, it happens naturally, though.
Naturally?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll try it again in a few years.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next story. It's Laurier Sleep Week. So this happened on November 21st. The Wellness Education Center hosted their Healthy Sleep Week. And it's one of the ongoing themed weeks they held during the year. So the Wellness Education Center is located in the concourse along with ACCW Sleep Lab. They gave tips, referrals, and kits to students to promote healthy sleeping habits and just enhance the student experience in general. So just for informational purposes, students and adults should be getting around 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night, but usually students are said to neglect this crucial part of the day in the name of social life, assignments, or studying. I am actually not guilty of this. I always get my 7 to 9 hours.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I don't understand how people can give it up, but it's just priorities, I guess. Mm-hmm. And when you're working through a deadline, sometimes it's gotta go. So Serena Wheeler, the manager of Wellness Education, she really encourages students to attend these events in order to just gain some knowledge about the benefits of getting a good night's sleep, as well as how failing to do so can impact their academic performance, which is very important now that we have finals coming up. So ACCQ Sleep Labs was present during the Healthy Sleep Week, and it's a business that operates locally. It was giving referrals and sleep tips to students, as ACCQ is actually covered by OHIP, which is awesome. They also encourage any students with concerns to just get an assessment from the lab, see what's wrong. It's scientifically proven that not getting enough sleep causes deficiencies both physically and mentally, and students need the most sleep for brain function but tend to sleep the least. So right now, at this point in our lives, it's really the most important part of our day, just to get enough sleep. So that's why the Wellness Education Center is running these events. And this is just one of the several themed education events throughout the semester. Right now, they're currently focused on stress and anxiety education, which I think sleep is a really big part of. It definitely contributes to anxiety if you don't get enough, as well as stress. Also, I do think that, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes when I have trouble getting to sleep, I get like stressed that I'm not able to get to sleep, and then that makes it worse, mm-hmm. and I can't sleep even more.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have that, and because things get like less and less comfortable as well, and then the littlest thing where I'm too hot or it's too cold mm-hmm. or whatever, and mm-hmm. then I start to get hungry, and like everything yes, just seems everything. To get worse. Yeah.
So do you have anything that you usually like go to things that you do in order to help yourself sleep?
I think music is one of the biggest things for me. I'm a very auditory type of learner and an auditory type brain, I think. So I put on like my softest, nicest headphones, mm-hmm. and then I put on I have a little playlist of East Coast music, like Canadian folk music.
I have so many things I want to say about this topic.
Okay. Okay.
One, you wear headphones to sleep?
Sometimes.
What if you roll around? Like, doesn't that...
It kind of, like, presses my ear, but I also will slide the headphone off, so I have it just on one side, and then I have my ear against the pillow.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I've talked about this with you, but it wasn't on this news show. So, fun fact, before this news show, we had this podcast called The Cordcast, and Garrison was on it one time with me. I think it was with you. We talked about ASMR. Do you remember?
What is that?
Okay, so it's, I don't remember what it stands for, auditory sensory something response,
mm-hmm.
meridian response, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, and it's basically like videos of people like scratching microphones or whispering. Have you seen those videos?
Yeah.
Those are supposed to like give you like tingles and help mm-hmm. you to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I even going with this? Oh, okay, yeah. So I was in like a phase where I really enjoyed those, and a lot of people said it helped them sleep, so they would wear like headphones mm-hmm. with it. But I turn a lot when I sleep, mm-hmm. so I feel like the headphones would just fall off. So I was looking into all these sleep products, and there's actually a lot of them out in the market where they have like a toque or like something that'll just fasten the earphones to your head, which is really cool. I didn't buy one, but I was like seriously considering it. And I think a lot of people do actually listen to ASMR to fall asleep
right.
nowadays.
Yeah, so I think it has really to do good. With just being busier too. And I've read studies where watching your phone or having that LCD display in front of your eyes right before you go to sleep mm-hmm. is really bad for trying to get to sleep. So it's yes. better to not have any devices or screens like 20 to 30 minutes before you try and fall asleep. So yeah. I think people not doing that try to make up for that with this ASMR. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah?
So do you actually like follow those rules or you don't?
Not at all.
Devices? I feel like that's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since my phone is my alarm clock. So right. I need to like at least configure my alarm before I...
But you could do that anytime. You could do that 30 minutes before.
Okay, but that's the thing. I configure my alarm and then I set my phone aside and then I'm like, okay, I'll read a book for 30 minutes. But then as I'm reading the book, I'm like, well, how long has it been? Let me check my phone to see the time. And then it doesn't work anymore.
Maybe you should go back to watches. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. Like, it's such a struggle. And I personally actually haven't found that. Like, the screen time has changed a lot. It's more just, like, how fast your mind is running.
Right.
Like, I can't jump from just work directly to bed. Like, mm-hmm. I need something that kind of relaxes me, which lately has been TMZ. So I just watch a lot of TMZ videos before I fall asleep.
I don't really notice mm-hmm. the lack of sleep affecting me on the day-to-day anymore. I know it really did before. I used to play sports a lot. I was on a high level of hockey and played like five or six times a week. If I didn't get a lot of sleep, I felt very slow and sluggish on the ice the next day. And I could really notice it, but mm-hmm. not so much anymore. I find if I have to get like only 3 or 4 hours of sleep because I'm studying for an exam or I'm writing a paper, I don't notice it. But it's probably because I'm just not as active as I was.
Yeah, I guess like your pace mm-hmm. of life is like maybe a little bit slower mm-hmm. or you don't need as fast reflexes mm-hmm. for writing papers.
Which stuff. I guess is kind of dangerous too if you don't realize the effects. I bet they're still there, I just don't notice them because I'm not so busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I have heard that like as soon as you do get a break, you have like sleep debt, which is the amount of sleep that you're lacking. So mm-hmm. as soon as you actually allow yourself to like just sleep until you wake up without an alarm, like you quickly just regain your sleep debt and then you're back to normal.
Okay, nice.
I'm sure there are some like effects on your body like physically that are not good for mm-hmm. you to get like not enough sleep in the short term, but I think it'll eventually balance out. So if you guys are studying for for exams. Hopefully you try your best to get enough sleep, but if you can't, you'll get it balanced eventually. Okay, so we're gonna take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Kitchener Christmas Market. Ask me what I'm doing late. Hit the moon, that's my platoon. Confused dudes in the cockpit, dropping the boom. Apocalypse on the prop tip, dropping your groove. Hi, we are back. We're here talking about the Kitchener Christmas Market. So this happened on November 24th, a Saturday, and the Kitchener Market was located on the corner of King Street and Cedar Street in downtown Kitchener. It allowed vendors from around the area to just sell their wares to consumers from around the area. It had 7 vendors, so they were all selling holiday gifts as well as decorations. This one, according to our paper, was a little bit of a letdown. A lot of people had high expectations, and they said that while there were good stocking fillers to be found at the Christmas market, that those in attendance thought it was lacking a little bit in the festive spirit. So we talked about the Kitchener Christmas market, I think 2 weeks ago on here. This is one of the earlier markets out of the entire list that we had. So it's kind of disappointing that it didn't turn out so well. But I kind of wanted to just pick up on that lacking in the festive spirit part. The only indication I saw in the article about the lack of spirit was just that there wasn't any Christmas music playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that is a big contributor, but what else do you think kind of makes up for a festive spirit at an event? Like, the let's smell. Say you're hosting like a party. How would you get like the festive spirit going in that establishment?
I'd have apple cider in crock pot, like warm, hot apple ciders, like to serve. And I think that gives like an aroma, okay, like maybe smell. some cinnamon candles. I'd have those, like a nutcracker and like a big jar of nuts for like walnuts and different types of things.
Like
I think that's super festive.
Like that statue not the, thing?
Yeah, the statue thing, okay. But you can actually crack nuts with it. Have
oh
you ever seen
gosh,
it?
Oh my gosh, wait, that's the what mouth nutcrackers moves? Are for?
You've seen the one with the mouth moves,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wait, so the
you
mouth
put
is
the nut in
to
there
crack?
And then, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's why they're called nutcrackers?
Yeah.
My mind is so blown. Okay. I thought that was just because it was like the name of some ballet.
It's the ballet, yeah, but I think that's based off the... the toy.
Wow. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so just having interactive like elements like that where the aroma hits you and like serving yourself some hot apple cider and like using a nutcracker, all those kinds of things are very festive.
That's
what I'd try to
do. So, okay, let's say you did all that, but then you had no Christmas music. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be like noticeable?
Yeah, for sure. You definitely need music if it's going to have part of the atmosphere. Yeah.
Mm, okay. So I guess smells and music and food, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess that might also have been what they were missing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just have vendors there. You have to have like someone who's organizing who kind of thinks of all that too. What about decorations?
Right.
What do you, okay, if you had to rate them, what order would it be? Would it be music first, then decorations and smells?
Yeah, or probably. I'd go
order?
Music. Smell is powerful though for me. If I walk into a room, like a bakery smells like a bakery. It's super powerful. If a bakery didn't smell like that, I wouldn't shop there.
I guess you're right.
So yeah, so I think I'd go music first is most important, and then the smells of Christmas food and holiday, like winter smells, I guess.
Winter
so pine
smells. Mm-hmm.
and all that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and then the decorations. And I'm just noticing in the photo for the story from the cord, the decorations look kind of thrown together where it's just put up something that is red or green or a pine tree with lights on it. It just seems kind of like thrown together. I think
how do
a
you
theme,
have decorations that are not thrown together?
But themes.
The theme is Christmas though.
More consistent than that though.
Okay.
I think, yeah, something a little bit more planned.
Okay,
ties all the different vendors together or something like that instead of everybody having their own take on
it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay.
What about you? So what makes
it for you? I would agree with all your answers. I think, I don't know if I would put smells first or music first, but I definitely think decorations is not the most important. Because I feel like when I walk into a room, I don't necessarily like take in like the decorations first. I take in like the people and the experience a little more. So even if there wasn't any decorations, as long as I'm like kind of feeling the vibe, it's good enough and it feels festive enough. It kind of reminds me of, you know those Christmas movies? I can't think of... Have you ever watched Daddy's Home 2?
Yeah, with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Do you remember that scene with what was going on? They had like a snowstorm and they couldn't go home for Christmas.
Right,
so they ended up all going to like a movie theater.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this is the worst Christmas ever because we're like all stuck together at this movie theater and this power outage. But then they somehow made it like festive,
yeah,
even though they were in an unconventional location. I feel like those scenes are perfect examples of how you don't need like decorations or anything in order to make it like a Christmas spirit.
Although, that is so wholesome.
Although obviously they had like music and all that stuff like added into the production, it might have been like different like if you were actually there.
Well, for your events with your family and whatnot, mm-hmm, over this holiday season, what would you feel like is missing the most? If none of those things were there, what would you miss the most? If none of like no music or decorations.
Okay. Oh man, I said decorations were last, but I do think the tree is really important.
Okay.
Like I think 1 year we didn't put up a tree because, mm-hmm, we thought it takes so much time and then we're just gonna take it down like afterwards or like keep it up for like a few months when it doesn't have any use. So we didn't put up a tree and I feel like that year I felt its absence a lot. So I do think a Christmas tree, if you celebrate Christmas, is like pretty important.
Yeah.
Just like a symbol of something that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on from the holidays and talk about performance-enhancing drugs. So this was, I think it was in our sports section, but I think is more of an opinion piece. It's just talking about its effects on Lorraine student athletes. So I guess the thesis of this was that students athletes have futures in their sports. So a serious education on the impact of performance enhancing drugs, along with stricter testing to force the issue that needs to be done. And it just gave some background about Waterloo's own experience with performance enhancing drugs. And the only sport that was really in the news before was football. In 2010, there was a scandal at the University of Waterloo. The football program got shut down for a year because a receiver, his name was Nathan Zettler, he was arrested for possession and trafficking of anabolic steroids. So Bob Copeland, who was the Waterloo director of athletes, ordered the entire team to be tested and a lot of suspensions were handed down. So from 2010 to 2014, there's been 14 university football players across every conference who failed drug tests, and the impact that it has, according to the author, is immense.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring it up for like a little bit of discussion because the author of this piece did think that serious education needs to be done. Do you think education is the main issue, or do you think stricter enforcement is the main issue when it comes to performance enhancing drugs?
That's a really good question. I think I am always prone to saying no to stricter enforcement. I always think that when there is an issue, it's a social issue, and that I would prefer to say that education is more important. I don't know. It's a very tough problem. I think it's also a very different problem, specifically for OUA and Canadian university sports, different than American sports, because the motivation, I think, for players in Canada is very different. I've seen like the rugby games and football games and hockey games here at Laurier,
mm-hmm,
and the attendance is really, really low. So it's not about fame and fortune that way, which it might be for a lot of different teams in the US, because there's a bigger viewership.
Right.
It's more about achieving your own very best and maybe being the best in the league and finding recognition among the other athletes. And I think that's just a different way of pushing yourself.
So it's still like seeking recognition just among different audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think with the focus being on the performance,
mm-hmm,
in a different way than if it's under the scrutiny of a popular audience, I think you might have different influences. I think they're obviously it's prone in both areas, but
mm-hmm,
I think it was interesting. The quote that was in this article was with one of the guys from the rugby team. And he was saying that it affects everybody when they hear about it from one team or one player somewhere else, because they're all playing together and they're all, it's like a mutual respect for each other that they all adhere to these rules.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of just links to me that it's a social issue. It's something about respecting everybody you're playing with, because mm-hmm, that's the biggest reason that you're playing here, at least in Canada.
I see. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think stricter enforcement, I almost agree that like both of them like need to be upped a little bit. Like stricter enforcement, obviously, no matter how strict you are, if you want to get around it, like, mm-hmm, there are always ways to get around it. So like I guess that's where education would help. But I do think stricter enforcement is also important, just to like maintain the fairness of the game and making sure that all players are being given equal chances. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the last. Oh, we have two more stories. They're both on sports, so we're gonna zoom through these and just wish the teams good luck. So the first is about the Golden Hawks swimming team. So they were in action this weekend at the DeBray Divisional Championships in Sudbury, Ontario. The women's team finished fifth. And Jasmine Rains and Jocelyn Chassie, they were really the heroes of the team. They propelled the Hawks to a finish fifth. Jasmine got 3 gold medals in the 50, 100, and 200 meter distance breaststroke competitions. And she also won a bronze medal with Jocelyn in the 4x50 meter medley relay. Jocelyn got 2 other individual bronze medals in the 50 meter freestyle and the 50 meter butterfly competition. So they amassed quite a lot of medals just between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The men's team also recorded a 6th place finish overall. They were led by a 4th-year veteran, Max Hughes. He got a bronze medal in the 400-meter individual medley. So the swimming competition that's coming up next for the Hawks is going to be happening in London, Ontario on December 1st. They're going to compete in the Western Invitational, and that's going to be the last major swim competition before they head into winter break. Our next sports-related news is the Laurier men's basketball team. So they were ranked number 9 last week in the U Sports Top 10, ending a 6-year dry streak. So the last time the team actually earned a ranked spot was in the 2011 to 2012 season, and they were ranked at number 10, but they were previously ranked at number 5 before that. So the reason they've been kind of like on a dry streak and rebuilding is just because there's been a change in the head coach. So I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Suresi. He was hired as the head coach, so he's been changing a lot of things about the overall team culture as well as the style of play. So what he places a lot of importance on is just a well-rounded program full of support staff for the players. This includes supervision, support in academics, mental health, physical health, well-being, and player development, and proper training outside from just direct drill practices, which sounds very wholesome and important.
Mm-hmm.
So having these supports in place, Suresi believes, I'm sorry, I keep changing the pronunciation of his name. I hope I got it right one time. So having these supports in place will not only attract players, but it's going to give them greater confidence in knowing that they are taken care of and will be successful within university if they come to play for Laurier. All that being said, the Hawks won 84-78 on Friday against Laurentian, and then they won 108-103 on Saturday against Nipissing, with fans and the team on the edge of their seats as they managed to overcome a 7-point deficit within the last 39 seconds in overtime. Wow, Ali Sao, guard, broke the modern scoring record with 44 points, which means Laurier now has an overall record of 7-3 on the season. Their next regular season game is going to be taking place in the new year, and it's going to be at Laurier. It's going to be against McMaster on January 4th, so that should be a good way for everyone to get welcomed back to campus. If you guys are around on January 4th, check out the men's basketball game. And I think that's it. Did you have any other comments?
No, not really.
Okay, cool. That takes us to the end of the show then. Thank you to all of those who tuned in to listen. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, if you like us, if you hate us, if you have anything at all you'd like to say, or if you want to get involved in the news team, we'd love to have you. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. And what do we say each week?
Good luck with the grind.
Good luck with the grind. Okay, thank you to the staff and volunteers at Radio Laurier and Lucip for helping to make this program possible. Our music was provided by Steve Dave for Life. Have a wonderful weekend, and this was our last issue before the holiday season, so happy holidays as well, Laurier. We'll see you back in January.